So as we teased, to open up the show, we have a gentleman here, Mr. Stephen Byrne. He is a Democrat who is vying for the 3rd Plymouth District state rep seat. This was one that, as of, and he was kind of telling us during the break, that as of last night, Garrett Bradley, the rep who is the person who was elected to that seat after formal session last night, has officially stepped down, so to speak. Is that correct?
Yes. Garrett announced his resignation for August 1st, so he's no longer in the legislature. It's a big loss, obviously, for the district. Garrett served 16 years in the legislature and was an outstanding advocate for the district on Beacon Hill.
Richard, do you have a question?
Yeah. First and foremost, I mean, being someone that lives in Whitman and not in the 3rd Plymouth District, can you tell us what towns are covered in the 3rd Plymouth District?
Sure. It's Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, and Precinct 3 in North Scituate makes up the district. Hingham is divided. Precinct 2 is actually part of Jamie Murphy's district now as a result of redistricting time they did it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you actually worked for the representative. You spent nearly a decade with him, right?
Yes. I started with Garrett in 2002 as his campaign manager for his reelection in the House. And it was a great experience, really no expectations going in that a job would be waiting for me after we were successful in the election. I had just finished up my grad school. I have an MBA from Fitchburg State College and was looking for a job, and I had known Garrett for a while, and I jumped on the opportunity. It was a great experience, and in 2003 I started with him as a legislative aide at the State House. It was just me and him in the office at that time. So it was really a good crash course in how state government works. You know, you do everything from file bills, research bills, to make photocopies and answering calls from constituents, kind of everything under the sun that a legislator does, you're on the ground doing it. So it was a great experience.
It's an interesting set of circumstances with this seat. You have a state representative who was stepped down, but yet he will be on the ballot come September for the primary. You have somebody who is running for the state Senate seat, the Plymouth Norfolk State Senate seat, and decided to switch races. And then you have yourself. And basically, you will have to mount yourself one heck of a write-in campaign. What are you going to do to mobilize voters? What are some of the things that you've already formulated in regards to getting word out about your campaign?
So it's been a really had to start from scratch. Garrett announced just recently that he was stepping down, so it created an opportunity for me to take a look at this race. And it's running for office has always been a passion of mine. It's always been something that I've wanted to do, and especially for this state representative. It's something, you know, having worked for him for 9 years, I really feel like I understand the district, understand the building, and this is the seat I want to run for. So after talking with my family and friends and made the decision, it was the right time for me to run a campaign. It's going to be a lot of hard work. We're already out there. My team, we're doing sign holdings all the time, started door knocking, just reaching out to people in the community to let them know I'm in the race. You know, we have stickers that are being printed now to get them in the hands of, you know, everybody and anybody in the community.
And folks at the polls,
exactly.
Getting them out, yep.
You know, I feel like it's going to be really a word-of-mouth campaign. Friends and family just spreading the word and try to connect with everybody we can.
So how many people are actually running write-in candidates now?
So it's interesting. My opponent and I, Joan, on the Miskino on the Democratic side, and then there's a Republican from Hull, John Brannon, who is running a write-in campaign as well, and then Kerry Thompson, who's from Cohasset.
Is an independent, wow.
Yeah. So it's a
lot
of
the other things. That was the rest of the dynamic that I was going to share with you. But Stephen was able to aptly give us that information and share it with us. So it's interesting that there. Do you feel that there's going to be some kind of confusion here, with so many people doing writing campaigns?
Probably a little bit, but I think it's our job to really educate the voters and let them know that our Garrett is not running and that there are options out there for people to choose from. The nice part about it, it really forces you to get out and connect with people and try to get a really strong understanding of what matters to them and what they're looking for in a state rep. You know, I'm just going to work as hard as I can until September 8th and show people that I really want this job, and I'm going to work hard once I get there.
Do you have another question?
No, I just think that, you know, I don't want to take any of his time away, but you know that I won two write-in campaigns in a row.
But not you're on, Richard Brosnan.
But not on purpose. There was a vacancy in the planning board in Whitman, and some of my friends thought it would be funny. Over the years, we've kind of played some practical jokes on one another, and I won with 6 votes. Several years ago, and of course, I never
served. Just takes 6 votes.
As a real estate developer, probably wasn't a good idea to be on the planning board, so I resigned. But no, I think, you know, it's a different dynamic when you're running as a write-in candidate, because it is going to make you work harder, but I think it makes the people understand and know you better by getting out there, because it isn't just a name that they're going to recognize. You're going to have to go out there and work and get those stickers out there and get your name out there and your message out there. So you're going to have to work harder, but I think it's an interesting dynamic in the race.
How about as far as municipal experience? I mean, have you been appointed to any boards or elected to any other offices, served in any capacity as a volunteer that you'd want to share?
I'm a volunteer hockey coach in Hingham. For the past 5 seasons, I've been a volunteer coach with the Bantam team, which is 13 and 14-year-old kids.
And not with the kids, the parents.
No, they've been great. Okay. Honest to God, it's has been a great
experience. There's your staff right there.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's. I played hockey growing up. I played in college. So I really wanted to give back. It was a time in my life where I, you know, had enough time to really devote to it, and it's been such a great experience.
Position?
I was a forward.
Get out of here.
In my skinny
days. Were you a guy who was more apt to be a third or fourth liner, or were you a top line guy?
Depends upon the team.
Okay.
So, you know, it's...
It does depend on the team and your line mates. You know
exactly.
What I mean? If you don't get somebody who knows how to pass the puck.
Yeah.
Or pass the ball, depending on which if you're playing roller or if you're playing ice, you know what I mean?
I played both growing up. I mean,
as
not,
did I. It was
not
fantastic.
Organized for roller hockey, but, you know, we were out all the time playing roller hockey and Hingham.
You were a Hingham guy at the Hingham? Oh, you weren't one of those guys who got banned off the... don't they have a banned list in Hingham? This is one time they have, like, a list of guys who, you know, couldn't be good team players or would get into fights. They would ban them from playing.
I have never heard of that, and I know I am not on the list.
Well, that means that if you've never heard of it, that means that you're one of the upstanding people who, when you're playing the sport, that you understand sportsmanship, which is key. What are some of the things that you're hearing from the voters in the district? What are some of the things that, as you're out knocking on doors, you're out there getting your name out there, that they're saying that they feel are quintessential issues they want you to either give an opinion on, hear your voice on it, or work on?
I think transportation is obviously a hot topic. We have a fortune to have a commuter ferry and a commuter rail line. So that's even going back to my days working for Garrett. It's been something that's always been under consideration, especially on the ferry, of being cut because of the subsidy. And, you know, Garrett was a strong, huge advocate for the ferry, and I will continue to be that advocate. It's such an important line. You know, people move to our communities in Hingham and Hull, Cohasset and Scituate, because of the commuter options that they have. And to take any of those away would just be terrible. And, you know, I think we need to really modernize the systems and make sure that we're putting the necessary funds in place to make sure that they're running efficiently.
How about coastal issues? Looking at some of those communities, if not all of them, I would say are coastal communities that have concerns, whether it's seawalls. We know the big conversation, especially if you're somebody from the Scituate area, is about the FEMA flood maps. Give me your thoughts and insight into that issue.
Well, I know from working in the legislature and even in the Patrick administration when I was a legislative director at the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development, you know, it is a huge concern, the state of our seawall systems and making sure we have a funding mechanism in place to really deal with these. They're huge budget busters, and they're not going to be cheap to fix. But we really need to take a leadership role and make sure that these seawalls are in adequate shape to be able to sustain a bad storm. The FEMA flood maps, when they were changed a number of several years ago, people saw their insurance rates go sky high. You know, we need to work with the federal government and state officials to make sure that, you know, we're really thinking about these flood maps, and we can't cause homeowners to lose their homes because they can't pay for the insurance. So it's something I'm going to really focus on to make sure that property owners, both commercial and residential, have a voice.
Have you had a chance to speak with any of the community leaders, whether it's selectmen or some of the folks in the towns, in regards to their concerns when it comes to the annual budgets, the annual town meetings? I mean, local aid is kind of a big deal when you talk to communities.
Yeah, I've been reaching out to, you know, community leaders, and, you know, having spent so much time working in the legislature and in the Patrick administration, local aid is a huge, huge priority, and you need the money coming back into the towns so that town government can function. So it's something that I would fight for on Beacon Hill to make sure that, you know, every penny comes back to our communities.
What's been the most interesting question that you've been asked by a potential voter, and you've had to kind of sit back and think for a moment before giving them a response? Is there anything in particular? Because voters can be tricky, and sometimes an issue they may put forth to you may not be something that you necessarily would be able to deal with at the state level, but yet you sit and you go, if this is a concern for this person.
So I actually had a conversation with the woman today from Hull who has some interesting ideas about transportation and some solar options. So low environmental impact public transportation that would actually be privately funded. And she's looking at doing something in Boston from South Station to North Station and over to the convention center. So it's that type of innovation. I think, you know, we're in Boston where, GE just moved here, and it's, you know, we have some of the finest educational institutions in the world. People come from all over the world to get educated in Massachusetts and in Boston, and it's an interesting idea to kind of think outside the box a little bit about these transportation alternatives. So that's one of the more interesting conversations I've had recently.
Was something you want to add, Rich?
No, I'm just curious. What have you done since you left the Patrick administration?
So I was in the Patrick administration for 3 years as legislative director, and currently I'm the state and local government relations manager for the International Council of Shopping Centers, ICSC. I cover the states from more or less Virginia up to Maine and then the country of Canada. And it's we're a huge member-based organization. We have 70,000 members worldwide, about 55,000 in the U.S. So I work on a lot of retailer issues, land use issues, and I support the federal team on some of their initiatives, which include marketplace fairness, which is the collection of internet sales tax, which is a huge issue for Main Street and retailers and small businesses. So,
when you look at things, we take things from the state level, and you look at, you know, we had a conversation going to be taking place in about 3 or 4 minutes with John Creed, who is a political analyst here at WATD. Give me your thoughts on the bigger race that could have a bearing on races like yours. You never know if you might get kind of a down ticket splash from a Hillary, or it may have an effect from depending on what Donald does here in the state. Give me your thoughts on that, on the presidential race itself.
Well, it's interesting. I've been a supporter of Hillary Clinton. I think she is the best candidate in the race right now. I think she's the most prepared person in the race. I had an opportunity last week to be out at the DNC in Philadelphia, and there was a lot of energy.
So you were there?
I was there.
Who knew?
So I was there. I was in the building on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it was just a great experience. I do think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the campaign evolves and, you know, what twists and turns it takes, because as we've seen this election cycle, you really need to expect the unexpected. So
something to take a look at. If folks want to find out more about your campaign, if they haven't already ran into you somewhere out and about campaigning with your team, how can folks find out more, whether it's a website or social media wise?
So my website should be live now. If not, we'll be live by tomorrow. It's www.stephenberm.com. So it's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, B as in boy, U-R-M as in Michael. And I'm on Twitter, at Stephen Berm is my handle, and also on Facebook. So I will be providing updates frequently from the campaign trail, and people can contact me about any sort of position I have on any issue.
Anything that we haven't asked you but you feel is kind of important to tell the folks about you or your candidacy for the 3rd Plymouth District State Rep seat?
Well, it's, you know, I also want to mention my family. My wife's name is Lauren. We have two children. My son is just turned 4, and my daughter will be 2 at the end of August.
Two little ones, nice.
They're in preschool in Hingham, and, you know, it's been nice to kind of meet new people throughout the community through our kids, so that's been great. You know, it's just one last thing. I feel like, you know, having worked for Rep. Garrett Bradley for 9 years and in the Patrick administration for 3 years, I feel like I have the relationships on Beacon Hill and have a really strong understanding how government works and how state government works and how you get things done. And I feel like I'm the candidate in this race that will be able to deliver for the district on day one.
Fantastic. There he is, Mr. Stephen Berman. I think I could be wrong. I'll have to check with Jeffrey Morrissey in the newsroom, but I think that we're in the middle of lining up a political forum with yourself and Joan Moschino. That if that's not confirmed yet, I know that's something that's in the works to get you guys in here.
Yes.
And talk about it. So if folks want to find out where the candidates stand on the issues, the write-in candidates, stay tuned later on this month on a Monday night when Mr. Burham and some of his opponents, those who are vying for you to write their name in, we'll be here talking about the issues. Stephen, I want to thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much. This was great. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak with you guys and talk to the listeners.
All right. We are going to step aside. And again, if you missed the conversation with Stephen that we just had, it'll be up on the podcast site within the next couple of days. So stay tuned for that. We'll step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.